Well, over this month, we're going to be sharing the concept of reset, Reset 2020, reestablishing keys to starting this year and new decade strong. So in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1 through 2, in the Amplified, it says, if you have been raised with Christ to new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things of this earth. Praise God. So where are we supposed to be setting our affections, our minds, and keeping them set on things above? That means we ought to be driven by eternity. Praise God. So this first year, first service of the new year, new decade, I invite you to set your spiritual compass and reestablish and reset some fundamental keys that will catapult you into a successful and triumphant trajectory of multiplication and increase. Over the next 4 weeks, we will submit to you 8 powerful keys to reestablish and reset in your life, to start this decade and year off strong and stay strong throughout the year. Now, we'll give you 2 keys each week. And the 8 keys are, these are the 8 keys. You can write on first now. Faith. They all start with F, by the way. Fasting. Fear. I'm not talking about being afraid, but I'm talking about godly fear, holy fear, reverential honor and awe of God. Forgiveness, family, 6, food plus fitness, 7, finances, and then 8, focus. Think of these as 8 changes to start off fresh for the new year and new decade. Now, key 1 is faith. Everybody say faith. So Hebrews 11:1, I'm going to read down to verse 12. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead still speaks. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God bless you. By faith, verse 7, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And they went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelled in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She was born of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, in multitude innumerable as the sands which are by the seashore. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we, as we shared before, faith is not a movement, but faith is a lifestyle. Hebrews 10:38, the first half of that verse says, now the just shall live by faith. If anyone draws back from what? Living by faith. My soul will have no pleasure in it. In other words, faith is the DNA, our DNA as a born-again believer and Christ follower. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. So faith is a lifestyle based upon a relationship between God and his word. Faith is a spiritual force. Faith is God's creative power. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. This is how we all should approach faith. Faith is a long-term relationship with God built over time. Faith, as we've shared before, is a present tense kind of thing. When you begin to embrace faith, it changes a lot about you. So as we and I grow in faith and get to new levels of faith, like the scripture says in Romans chapter 1, he said the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So one degree of faith to another degree of faith. Every one of us should be thinking in degrees of faith that we're going and growing to. Because if our faith is not growing, we should be really concerned about it. Now, how do you know your faith is growing? Well, Brother Hagin gave us three indications or indicators that your faith is growing. When your faith grows, the first indication is Satan's dominion over you wanes. That means the devil doesn't whip you up and beat you up every time and turn around. Then number two indication or indicator is circumstances become less formidable or formidable. That means you ain't crying and complaining and grumbling and mumbling over the financial difficulty, over the physical challenges. Come on now, over the family situations. Circumstances become less formidable because your faith is growing. And then fear is destroyed. You know, all those fears, 3,000 plus fears, most people, they say, psychologists say, are born with two fears, inherent fears, you know, loud noises and falling. But less of them are learned behaviors. They're learned by our environment, our associations, and our assimilations. In other words, we learn fear, but then we have to unlearn fear. We have to peel fear off of us like we're peeling an onion or peeling a banana. You have to peel it off. Break it off. Some people are afraid of giving more because they're afraid of their time. I'm talking about giving more of your time, your talent, your treasure, your testimony to the Lord, and testimony to the, of the Lord to others. Why? Because there's an inherent fear. You have to unlearn those fears, and you have to learn faith and learn how to walk in love. Your faith should be number one key priority for your focus this year. Grow your faith. Because it's a present tense kind of thing. It changes about things about you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, conversationally. Faith is now. Faith is present tense. Amen. Faith first changes us. Faith starts working by changing you. The reason for your problems follow you is because you have not allowed your faith to change you. One of the main purposes of faith is to change things or to get things. But most people major in the getting with their faith. Get more money, get better this, get believe God for better this. Nothing wrong with that. But when you're that way all the time, you're imbalanced. Because faith changes things. But the first thing or person it changes is you. Amen. Again, most people enjoy and focus on getting things, the getting things part. And purpose of faith, which is all that's good. However, it's too often we ignore the changing things part. We don't want to change, but we want to get. See, the quickest sign of your faith growing is discomfort. Now, people don't like that. People want to get to a place, like our brother Steve said one time, people in American culture and society, we work real hard to get to retirement or get to where we can relax or get where we don't have to even think about money or think about bills. We want to get to a place where we kick our feet up. But God didn't call us to retire. He said reset and refire your faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In other words, we ought to get uncomfortable, meaning allow the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to stretch our faith. Because when you can get it done, you don't use your faith. You use your talent. You use your skill. You use your ability. But it takes no. It takes faith to please God. And God sometimes puts us in situations where he's demanding and requiring faith from you. You can't do this by your own hands, by your own power, your own credit worthiness, your own natural abilities. You need God. So that will make you uncomfortable. Because Dr. Billy Yeoman said one time, faith is like stepping out on over the aching void with nothing under your feet but the word from God, word of God, or a word from God. That means you're stepping out with no assurances physically or emotionally that this is going to work. But how do you know your faith is growing? You're uncomfortable. Some people think, well, I'm comfortable, so I must be in faith. No, you got it wrong. Your growing faith makes you uncomfortable. If you're not uncomfortable, your faith is most likely stagnant. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brother, and as it is fitting, because your faith grows, what? Exceedingly, and your love toward every one of you all abounds toward each other. Friends, it's important to note that your faith cannot outgrow your love walk and your forgiveness walk, because faith works by love. In other words, you've got to be able to grow in love, and that's one of the things we ask and we request, that you spend the first 30 days in 1 Corinthians 13, because it's the key to your success. It's the key to your faith's success more intentionally. It's a key to your faith success. You can't grow in faith without growing in love. So read 1 Corinthians 13 over the fasting time. Lord, help me to love my love to grow. Help me grow in my love walk, in my forgiveness walk. See, we should be concerned and willing to quickly change if our faith is not growing. Because, friends, you and I will never get more out of God without God getting more out of you. So sometimes we live in that socialistic mindset gets into people where they think everything's a handout or help me up. And God says, I require things from you. I demand things of you. What is he demanding things of us? He's demanding faith from us. And faith first changes us. In other words, you got to use your faith. You got to stretch your faith. You're going to have to grow your faith. God bless you. Faith is how we access those heavenly blessings here on earth. Hebrews 1:1 again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Praise God. Faith will take what is true in heaven and cause it to be real here on earth. As we said during the offering teaching, Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin said, never fight the enemy in the arena of sight, feeling, and circumstances. And you can tell if you're doing that because you're talking about it. You're talking about what you see, you're talking about what you feel, and you're talking about what's happening instead of what you are believing. And we should be talking about those things in the context and in the shadow of what we're believing God for. We don't just give fact reports. We give a faith report, and faith always has a good report. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As we shared in the previous series, the only fight that we're supposed to be in is the good fight of faith. See, without faith, there can be no fresh or strong start. That's because faith is the catalyst for change. See, our faith will make us whole, like the woman with the issue of blood, and it will make this church whole. Praise God. It awakes our heart, our spirit to see. What does faith do? Wakes our heart and our spirit to see by revelation knowledge what is possible and provides the empowerment to move forward. You have to walk by faith. Amen. Step by step through this year, through this new season, this new decade. It's going to take faith. Now he said faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. Everybody say hope. A little thing called hope. Hope must be connected to faith. That's why we have everyone writing their goals now, because you have to have something your faith is targeting. It's shooting for. It's believing God for. Being specific. Hope is like the blueprint of a building or a house. It's the design and the destiny of where you want your faith to fulfill and fill out. Faith must be connected to hope. Things we learn about hope from God's word. Hope is the expectation of a greater future than the current circumstances. In other words, everybody minimally should have an expectation of a greater future. It should be really a very happy new year for us. But why? Because we have hope. Amen. We're expecting a greater future than where we are right now. We're saying with our hope and faith connected, the best is yet to come. Amen. Praise God. And then number two, hope is an anchor. To what? Your soul, your emotions, your mindset. It's telling you, we're targeting this. We're believing. We're not moved by what we see and feel. We're moved only by what we believe. We're expecting something good, and we're excited about it. Somebody say, glory to God. It keeps you steady in challenging times. You don't flake out, fall out. Come on now, or quit out, because you're in faith. Number three, hope sets the tone of our conversation, and it seasons our speech. Now let's briefly review some of the testimonies from the elders. Hebrews 11, 2 and 3 says, "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made by things which are visible." The phrase by the faith the elders, it's easy to ignore and skip over, but our Father God does not waste words. He's telling you these statements are a few powerful principles that you can help you be a person of faith. Other people can inspire your faith. That means we need each other. The life of faith is not lived and learned in a vacuum. Whenever anyone succeeds in their walk with God, it should, and it does, encourage us. Number two, we learn that faith is what faith is by watching others sometimes. Some people learn by observation, association, and assimilation. They're visual learners, and their ability to process truth occurs as they see it. Every time we watch people live through difficult or trying times, we can learn from them. Number three, it takes faith from the abstract to the everyday life. See, when you hit a new level of, you know, finances, for example, your giving and receiving, that should benefit and bless us. It shouldn't bother us because it should encourage us. It shows how do we go from faith to faith. Amen? See, faith is never to be in isolation to a Sunday morning church service. It's a part of every day of the week. So sometimes we think faith is only worked out or shown in the context or confines of the Sunday morning church service. Well, your faith should be living and breathing and abounding out there. Amen. Amen. In your family, in your community, on your job. Praise God. Amen. We pick up nuances about believing God. We see people who have gone further along in life in faith that it's worth it to continue to walk by faith. And it reminds us that whatever God does for others, he will do for us. So God doesn't play favorites. What he would do for one, he would do for everyone. Somebody say, glory to God. So by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Yes, it's true. By faith, the universe was created. Physics is still trying to figure out some things about dark matter and energy and all these things. We even got movies that try to just explain all this stuff. But that's not truth, but that's cinema, that's drama. But see, the word world, however, has another connotation. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The world also means ages or time. Using world declares one of the greatest concepts of faith. In other words, he's saying life may change. And we've changed what? Years. We've changed decades. And at times may change, but God does not change. No matter how much things change, God has always been there for individuals who believe and trust in him. God's still God. Amen? He's still going to get you through it. Amen. So faith in God is tried and true. Now the faith of our forefathers or our elders teach us. The first elder of faith we read was Abel. He exemplified faith through worship. Faith through Abel teaches us how to worship. This first example of faith is not about us receiving something from God. Now that's where people get imbalanced or get out of order in their faith. Their faith gets out of order. There's a divine order to faith. And it's the first example we see is Abel teaching us how to worship by faith. What did he do? He brought the sacrifice, the first things of the flock. You know, the first, you can say the first out of 10. So the other 9, he was trusting God to bring the other 9 along. But he offered the first and the best. Amen. To God. Amen. As an act of worship. It's about giving God something. See, it's not about receiving. It's about giving God something. Amen. We call it the altar of salvation. It's you giving God your life, your heart, your everything. Surrendering to his lordship. That's your first thing about worship. You don't come to church just to worship. You live a lifestyle by faith, which is the heart of worship. Amen. You give God your all. Every day and in every way. Praise God. Second elder of faith, Enoch, teaches us, demonstrates faith to us to walk with God. Faith isn't just about saying. It's about doing. Our faith must be louder than our lips. That means just don't talk the talk. Walk the walk. And work the work. Praise God. Hallelujah. It must show up in our life. Not just in our lips, but in our life, that we're believing God. That Genesis 55:2, the second half, Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years. Now, we know he lived to 380 because the Bible said in 80 years, he's figuring this thing out. He didn't have a Bible like we do. He didn't have examples like we did. He's in the early stages of human creation, mankind creation. And for 80 years, he's learning to walk with God by faith. And that 80 years, he figured it out, and for 300 years, after 80, he walked with God, and walked so well, God took him. He didn't even see death. He knew he pleased God, so he lived for 380 years. 80 of it was preparation and getting his faith up and growing, and then he's 300 years, he had his faith going all the time to where God was so pleased, he said, I'm just going to transition you and translate you right up to heaven. Isn't that beautiful? See, Abel's faith was saving faith, But Enoch's faith was transforming faith. Transformation is the second step after salvation. So in other words, we don't get saved to sit down on our faith. We get saved by faith through grace, by grace through faith, to begin living by faith and go from one step and one degree of faith to another. And that should change and transform us into great and glorious believers and Christ followers. Amen? Amen. So that in other words, we're not changing. Our faith is not, it's stagnant. See, our walk with God is public, not private. It was a step, not a leap. It was today and not tomorrow. That means, what do you believe in God for today? What are you using your faith for today? Faith comes down to you. Walking in faith comes down to you. Walking means you're with God. Amen. Third elder of faith is Noah. He demonstrated the faith in witness and work of faith. The witness and work of faith. I mean, because he spent 120 years not only building that ark, but he was preaching. The Bible called him a preacher of righteousness. He preached for 120 years without nobody getting saved or converted back then. Because he says it's going to rain. It's going to flood. They did not believe him. But he was consistent and faithful for 120 years. So we often say the faith to step out is worthless without the faithfulness to stick it out. In other words, you got to stay tried and true like God, who is faithful, with your faith. You keep on believing. You keep on serving. You keep on acting. You stay consistent. You don't cool down. You don't calm down. You don't step down. You continue to step up. And he's listed in the Hall of Fame of Faith for his work of building the ark, his act of faith, and his attitude of faith in witnessing. And God saved him and his whole household and restarted the human race through Noah. Somebody say glory to God. See, Noah shows us five ways how faith is not a well-kept secret. Look at verse 7. By Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things of seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, who became heir of the righteousness which is according to what? Faith. So in other words, number one, faith will not always be popular. I told you about he's preached for 120 years. And sometimes you have to be faithful to preach and proclaim Jesus in front of people and unbelieving family members for the time that you have left on earth. Now, you do it in love, but you do it in faith, too. That, God, perhaps you would grant one of my family members repentance. You don't condemn them. You don't beat them over the head. But you are, in faith, sharing Christ and showing Christ to them consistently. See, faith is not a style issue. In fact, most people think it's out of style. Can you live by faith? Even if it's not popular, friends, because it's out of style to operate in this social media environment by faith when everybody's living by sight, circumstances, and responding to feelings. They're expressing their feelings. They're saying what they feel. They're not speaking what they believe. So it's unpopular. That's why you get criticized and ostracized and really condemned for living by faith. Why you go to church? Why do you do that? I don't like religion. I don't like organized religion. Well, I believe God does. I believe God loves the church. I believe God, the Lord Jesus, is the head of the church and believes in the church. Amen? So I put a premium on church, the things of God, and God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Faith always stands out in a crowd. Faith makes you look different. It changes how you think. Because why are you building this boat, Noah? You can figure 120 years, people were mocking him. Why are you building this boat? You just a fool. Just an old fool. Number three, faith is not about God, how God sees you. It's how God sees you, not how people see you. See, some people don't want to express their faith or exemplify their faith in front of other people because they still think salvation is personal and private. It's my faith. But how many know it's not about how other people see you, because shame and embarrassment is a part of Satan's tools and tricks. Because some people are even shame to share their church. Shame to show people, come to church. They'll post everything else on social media, but they won't post anything about the church. Well, praise the Lord. Because it's not about how people see you, because people want the praises of men, the comments, the likes. Amen. They want the pats on the back, or they want people to get into a social dialogue with them. But that has nothing to say about your faith. It's not about how people see you. It's about how God sees you. Amen. Because in Genesis 6:8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah determined faith is disregard. Noah demonstrates faith by disregarding what others thought of him. He didn't care if they talked to him. He finished the job. Amen. Number four, faith requires you to do what others do not do. What God told Noah to do was not out of the ordinary, to say the least. But Noah obeyed and did what no one else wanted to do. I remember men of God, even today, you know, Brother Copeland and others, they had to do so. Brother Hagin would ask, why are you calling me to do this? He said, because I knew you'd get it done. Why did God call you into this new year, 2020? Have you sitting right here listening to this? Because God says, I want you to get it done. Do what nobody else wants to do. Pick up the baton and walk by faith. Amen. Yeah, I mean, Brother Copeland talks about the time he went into a church and they had needs and bills and stuff. And so he said, okay, I'll take the needs of the church and put them on my prayer list and my faith list. And I'm going to believe God for the bills and the needs of the church. Now, he had all his debt. He said he had what would be equated today in the hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt back then. This is back in the 60s. But he said God took care of his debt because he was taking care of the church's needs along with his needs. He was believing God for things to get taken care of at God's house. And God fixed and took care of things in his house. Amen. See, it requires you to do something you won't do. Because if God tells you, I want you to give $50,000 this year. Well, sometimes we get all shook up and say, well, Lord, I can't make that much money to give away. Well, all he asked you is to give it away. He said, believe me for it. Don't think you have to burden and buy it to do it. Amen. See, God will ask us to do things that other people don't want to do. Amen. Faith has works to show for it. James 2:17 says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Noah obeyed God over 120 years and preached about the coming flood and the rain and built one of the first big faith projects, which was the ark. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what should we do with our faith? Well, you have it there. First is reference. You got to determine and just daily decide to study, meditate, confess. We gave you the confession. Read, feed, and practice the word to grow in faith. That means you got to tend to your own faith progress and growth, because your growth helps the church grow. Amen. Then you got to reflect. What are you believing and trusting God to be, to give? and to do in 2020? What are you believing and trusting God to be? Because the first thing faith does is change you, be and become, and then give, because that's an act of faith that we should be giving and receiving on another level. And then do. What does the Lord want us to do in the context of our family and ministry life? Praise the Lord. And then reset. Delve into God's word. Discover his promises and that are applicable to you. Then by faith, declare those promises in and over your life. Don't stop believing. Don't stop speaking. Don't stop acting on the word. The last key is fasting, which we'll launch into this week. Matthew 6, 16 through 18 says, moreover, when you fast. Now, notice Jesus didn't say if. He said when. So you should be you and I should be fasting and praying on directed times or we felt needed time, you know, led by our heart and through the Holy Spirit, needed times in our lives. Because when things of the world start gripping on you, you need to fast to break them off of you. Amen. When things are difficult and seem like demonically inspired coming against you, then you need to fast to get clarity and clear, direct instructions on what to do. Amen. See, don't be like the hypocrites, he said, with sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces and they may appear men to fast, to be fasting. In other words, don't tell everybody and show everybody you're fasting and how miserable you are in that. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, everybody say, when you fast, anoint your face, anoint your head and wash your face. That means do your normal stuff so that you do not appear to men to fast, but your Father who is in secret place and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. See, a diet changes the way you look. Because some people only think about the food aspect of it. But fasting, which is fasting and prayer, that's what we're talking about, changes the way you see. When we fast, we position ourselves to hear from God and see things from his perspective. Because sometimes we're down here and we're in the weeds and we're in the woes and the worries of life. But we need to be elevated. Because fasting and prayer help disconnect you from earth and reconnect you to heaven. Are you listening to me? So we position ourselves to hear from God and see things from his perspective. Some of the reasons we fast in Isaiah 58, I'm going to read it off the screen, Lauren, just as we're closing up here. He said, is this not the fast that I've chosen? This is what he wants us to have. This is the purpose of one of the purposes of fast that we want to embrace over the next 3 weeks. To loose the bonds of what? Now, wicked and evil is anything that takes you away from your God-intended purpose. So if you're spending too much time on social media, you can't seem to break that habit. You need to fast to break that band of wickedness. To undo what? Heavy burdens. To let the what? Oppress go free. Now, in other words, if you have experienced depression and discouragement, that means the devil has been oppressing you. Because he can't depress you and discourage you without oppressing you. And so you got to take that enemy's work and terminate it in your life. And get him out of your brain and out of your mind and out of your emotions. Amen? Let the oppressed go free that you break how much? Every yoke of bondage. It is not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring to your house the poor who are cast out, who see you naked, that you cover him, that you not hide yourself from your own flesh. In other words, what we typically save through not eating certain things and buying certain things to eat, like the sugars and sweets and sodas and things that probably not good for our physical body and long-term health, then you do what? That money goes to help somebody else. Amen? You get involved in missions. You're not looking at just you. You're looking at what how God can use you to be a blessing to others. Praise God. So to remedy, see, this one thing is to remedy spiritual bondages, barriers, and burdens. Secondly, Ezra 8:21. This is why we're fasting. Is everybody seeing this? Ezra 8:21 says, then I proclaimed a fast where? There at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves. That means we humble ourselves to pray and seek from him. What are we seeking from him? The right way for us and our little ones and our possessions. In other words, our 2020 vision goals. Lord, what do you want me to put in this? Now, any of us can sit up and create stuff and just put it down. But you need to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit and let him not only help you, but help you see things from God's perspective. See, who do I need to be believing God? That's the first bullet for to receive Christ. What about my spiritual growth? What do you want me to grow to and be and become this year? By faith in you. Amen. My physical health. How do you like my body, Lord? Amen. What weight do you want me at? I'm not getting too many amens right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. What about my financial increase? That's number six down there. Five. Increase in abundance and generosity. And in other words, it starts with giving goals, not getting or having goals. Because people say, well, I want to have this, I want to go this, I want to get this. That's fine, but that shouldn't be the first. The first should be, how much do you want me to give, Lord? Amen. Glory to God. So in other words, for our family, our finances, and our futures. We're not going to read Joel 2 and Acts 1 for the time. But see, Acts Joel 2 talks about repentance, renewal, and restoration. In other words, if you're not hot for the Lord, if you're not burning and fired up in your faith, then you get back on fire. Hit the reset button and say, get me back on fire, Lord, where I can't go a whole week without sharing my faith and showing faith in Jesus Christ to the people around me. Amen? Because an empty seat is a big deal. I got my name tag on that, Lord. You got to get my heart changed so I can desire and long for the lost, the lonely, the least around me. So sometimes there needs to be repentance, renewal, and restoration, as it says in those verses. And in Acts 13:1, sometimes we need to consecrate and commit ourselves. It says when Barnabas and Saul and all the other prophets and teachers were at Antioch, they said they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I've committed. You have to separate and consecrate and commit yourself to the call of God for this year. Amen. Everybody say faith and fasting. Without fasting and prayer, you will have difficulty repositioning yourself to stay in command and control over situations, circumstances, and your flesh. Fasting disconnects you from earth. Prayer connects you to heaven. Fasting does not deliver things to you, but it puts you in command of things. Your flesh will try to pull you back. The devil will try to push you and pressure you back. But make a decision that I'm going to operate in faith, and I'm going to operate in this first month of the year in prayer and fasting. See, through prayer and fasting, we encounter power. And by revelation, our authority is unveiled or unfolded. Praise the Lord. Y'all get something out of that today? Praise God. Would you stand with me?